Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today for today's episode. I'm so excited to have my guest here, Mr. Raja Vaidya, if I said that correctly. I love your name, too. It's so unique. But thank you so much for being here today and being a guest on the show. Please do us all a favor. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into this space.
Thank you so much, Kat. And also on this Monday, Thursday, you know, I just want to say to everyone, thank you so much for having me on the show. And Kat is an amazing person. Make sure you subscribe to her show, okay?
If you don't, shame on you.
All right? Okay. No, but all good vibes. I am a mind shift coach. So what I do is I teach black belt mind shift, and I've been teaching martial arts now for over 38 years. I'm in the Black Belt Hall of Fame as a 6-degree master black belt. And I took karate originally because I got bullied because of my speech impediment. So I took karate and I was so happy. I'm like, great, I don't have to talk. And then my teacher said, oh, by the way, Raja, in order to get your black belt, you have to teach class. I'm like, what? I don't want to teach class. I don't want to, that's not what I signed up for. He said, well, too bad, you got to do it. But what I realized is he did me a favor, because then now by forcing myself to teach, by forcing myself to really get out of my comfort zone, it forced me to learn and really start a new journey that had I not taken karate, I would not have been here today. Because now as a result of that, I was head instructor of my teacher school for 25 years. Then I opened up my own karate school, Vaidya Martial Arts, for the past 7 years. And then a couple years ago, I got hit by a car and hurt my neck. So I had to close the school last year, but that's okay. Don't be sad for me, because what I did is I learned to pivot and to go online. And now with Victory Mindset Academy, I'm now helping so many more people, because now I can take my own real experience of going from a hero to a zero and then back up to a hero again, and realizing that, you know what, we all fall, we all stumble, we all have obstacles in our way, but those obstacles, sometimes we think they're walls when they're really speed bumps. And what mindset and what a black belt mind shift does is teaches you to view those walls in your life like a speed bump, so that you don't pretend they're not there. You know, fear is a real thing, that's okay. But you are not the fear, and you go beyond it. And as soon as you do that, you become the next version of you. And so now that translated to me onto an online coaching program. And now I do speaking. I just did a keynote last week, and I had this amazing guest last week on my fast growing show, Freedom Coaching Live. Some girl named Kat. She was just a firecracker. Last week she was on my show, and I just had a blast, and she invited me on her show. I'm like, the hell?
Yes.
Yes.
We had to continue the conversation.
Indeed.
I love that too. And you know what's interesting is you are actually the second person that I have met that has a black belt degree that has turned into coaching and kind of utilizes the lessons that they learned and the things that they were taught as a piece of what they do now and what they teach people. So tell me, because I've always wanted to do karate and I never got a chance, but what do you feel like were some of the best things that you were taught through that process?
Wow. So one of the things that I really love about the martial arts is everybody thinks it's about fighting, when it's one of the smaller aspects of what we do. Martial arts is really about discipline, focus, teamwork, leadership. It's about disciplining yourself so you become the next version of you, but also facing your fears so that, you know, I used to hate push-ups. I hated push-ups. And then now I like push-ups. You know why? I kept saying to myself, you know what? I like push-ups. I like push-ups. And all of a sudden I started to be able to do them more. I used to tell myself, I used to hate to do long distance running. So I forced myself to join cross country. Now I love going on a 3 mile run, a 5 mile run. And, after my car accident happened, I smashed my head. I don't know if you can tell here. I lost a chunk of my hair too. I got a scar here. And luckily it's been a while now, but I had glass in my head for 6 months and I had headaches and I was slurred by words like this for about a year because I think I must have had a mini stroke or something because I blacked out. And when I woke up, like one eye was not tracking the same as the other eye for about a year.
Oh, wow.
And here's the fun part. I couldn't turn my head to the left for 2.5 years. So, you know, when you grow, you know, when you wake up one morning with a stiff neck and it hurts you and it ruins your day for like 3 days. Imagine that for 3 years.
No way.
You tell me. So I consider myself a survivor because I just survived through that. And part of the reason why I started on my own personal transformation journey was I was going through depression. I was overeating. I was gaining a ton of weight. And I just was yelling at my wife, my kids, because I was cranky. And because a lot of things I wanted to do was feeling like it was like stolen from me. You know, I've been told my karate teacher, he asked me one time, like, you know, how come I don't see you anymore? How come you don't train as much? I said, well, because my health got stolen from me. And that's what it felt like. It felt so unfair.
Yeah.
Just when somebody hit me with their car, that it causes that much damage. My car got totaled and everything. And, you know, my beautiful Infiniti i30, 220,000 miles on it. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I keep my cars until they die. And so, yes, I do. But that experience forced me to become more. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, a year later, I found out that my friend Sean McCormick, he owns a karate school out in Oxford, Pennsylvania. I found out he has a brain tumor. He has a glioblastoma. And wow. I've been a cancer scientist for 25 years. So now I talk to Sean and I'm wondering, like, Sean, what happened? How did this, you know, first of all, how'd you get it? He says, you know, they all think it's just environmental. There's no genetic predisposition to it. And he ended up, you know, showing by example how you fight something. Mm-hmm. And I learned from him too, because like I remember at the time, this was back in 2013, 2014. And I was telling him, yeah, I thought about opening up my own karate school. And he said, well, what are you waiting for? I said, well, I don't know. I'm just trying to make things a little bit better. It's like, look, Raj, there's no perfect time. You just got to do it. And as soon as you do it, you'll learn from it. And, you know, but if you don't do it, if you just wait, you'll just learn later. So it's better just to start and just get going. Mm. So guess what? I opened my karate school October 2014. And it was 3 months after Sean had passed away. And I know. It was very bittersweet because he was the reason why I kind of pushed to get it open sooner rather than wait a year.
And yeah.
And so he kind of gave me that sort of push to kind of say, all right, I get it now. Yeah. What am I waiting for? So mm-hmm. then as part of that too, I started my own transformation journey. I started reading books and going to masterminds and getting coaches and gurus and you know, believe me, I spent a lot of money over the past 6-7 years, you know, easily over 6K or six figures learning and coaching myself. And by the way, whenever you invest in yourself, it is never a waste of money.
Mm, 100%.
For anybody out there that is wondering, should I spend that $20 on that book? Should I join that like $1,000 Mindshift program or somebody's guru or like a weekend retreat or something? I would say, you know, right now with the economy and the pandemic, the only thing that the government or the world or the universe cannot take away from you is what's in your mind. You have the most expensive real estate sitting between your ears, right?
Yeah.
So those 6 to 8 inches right there between your head, you know, in your brain and your mind, is something that will always help you. Because I just got a new position for like another big pharma company, and one of the reasons why they hired me was, and after they got me on, I asked them very, you know, about a week later, why did you hire me out of the dozens of people that you could have picked?
Yeah.
And they said, Raja, well, number one, you had the solid scientific background, which a lot of other people did too. But more importantly, you had amazing communication that really stood out. And you were a leader, like a proven leader. And very few people have that, because I was a leader of karate. I was a leader in the choir. I was the chorus president. I've been on the board of directors of 3 different opera companies. And now I have a coaching company. So I own my own businesses online. And so when you have a real brick and mortar business, you become a business owner. You understand the tax code and why people with businesses make so much money, because they're saving so much money. And that's what consumers don't understand. And so, and that's not your fault. You can always learn it. And that's the best part. You know, you were one choice away from having it all, but it's one choice. My former mentor, Mark Hoverson, he passed away a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago now. And he used to say, his quote was, small hinges swing big doors. And let that sink in for you a bit. Small hinges swing big doors. And you are an amazing potential waiting to happen. And you just have to make that choice. You know?
Yeah.
And you
talked about it in the beginning as well, when you were talking about, you know, when you taught yourself to enjoy push-ups and you taught yourself to enjoy running, that wasn't something that you were born to do, right? You were able to work on shifting your mindset to do what you want it to do. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, is how much control we essentially have over our mind and over our thoughts and over the abilities of things that we could be doing, but we allow the words inside of our head to make those decisions for us.
Yeah. And not only that, people forget that your body's physiology is evolutionarily designed to keep you safe. So that means sometimes that means it prevents you from growth. So you have to override your own DNA coding. You have to figure out, well, all right, I'm kind of stuck where I am. How do I change that? Well, you know what? Last year, after I was in between jobs and I was getting upset and my ID got hacked, I got no money from unemployment. I'm fighting with my wife and we're struggling. And guess what? That's a reality of life. We all have our ups and downs, right? Yeah. So that's one thing I tell people too. I tell people all of my mistakes, because I want them to see that, yes, I'm a success now, but it was not easy. Mm-hmm. And there were many times where I could have quit. But the whole point is, the only difference between the people that succeeded and the ones who failed is, the ones that failed saw it as a failure. The ones that succeeded were, they used that failure as a stepping stone to the next win. Because it's not something that you win or fail. It's something that you win or you learn. And you learn something every time. And, you know, and here's something I can teach you for the audience right now.
Yes.
You are so much in control. I want to teach you something really, really important, and that is breathing. So guess what? As a classically trained opera singer and as a master black belt, breathing is key to helping you control how you want to present yourself. So number one, in karate, we always take a deep breath before our forms. You ever see someone come up and do their kata, their hyung, their form, right? They stop, they do their chumbi stance, they're prepared, and they take a deep breath, and then they, boom, then they go, they explode.
Mm-hmm.
When you sing opera, you breathe before you start singing, and you breathe during your singing.
Yeah.
When you're a speaker, as a keynote speaker, I just gave a keynote speech last week to, I just gave a 30-minute keynote about black belt confidence to a bunch of project managers down in North Carolina. And apparently the organizers said, because they heard about me, that was the most well-attended training they had in the past 6 months. So here I am, the speaker that can't talk right. And they all wanted to come hear me. And so, you know, this idea of breath carries a lot of weight. Because, so if you go to like Oriental philosophy and they talk about qi and developing your energy, guess what? Literally translated, qi means breath.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So my sifu in like a Wing Chun, he taught me that. And I never realized, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I did, I realized, oh my God, that's the reason why some of these things I've been doing have been working, because I realized really early on how to breathe. The first thing is, a lot of us are taught to breathe through our chest. Hold on, I'm going to bring this back a little bit. Hopefully you can see. And I want you to see. I'm not going to tear up my chest, but you know, dun, 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 dun. But a lot of us are chest breathers. So if you put your hands here and you breathe, most people breathe the wrong way. What you really want to do is you want to put your hands right on your belly button, and you want to push your belly button out away from your body. And then exhale slowly. And when you do that, all of a sudden, did you realize you just got almost twice as much air as you did by breathing? It's a big difference, because you have a muscle in between your lungs and your stomach cavity called your diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you pull that muscle out, that helps you to expand more. It pulls in more air. And then on top of that, what I do is, this is something called Wim Hof breathing. So Wim Hof, he wrote a book about how the body can adapt to adverse climates. So he talked about how you can breathe at high altitudes, how you can train your body to deal with cold weather. He talked about hypothermic conditioning of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna teach you something real simple in two ways. Here's one way you can do it. First is, this is what's called the fireman's breathing. So I was an EMT. So I actually worked on an ambulance for several years, saved a lot of lives. It was a lot of fun. And, but on top of that, you learn you must control your adrenaline in the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So if you don't, it's going to get away from you. And then your emotions get away from you. So half the people I know who have anxiety disorder or have some sort of an issue with, I don't know what to do, they start to hyperventilate. This will help with that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to inhale for 4 seconds. Ready? Go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Out with it. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is what I call box breathing, right?
Four seconds,
4 squares. That's it. 4-sided square, 4 seconds. Everything is 4.
Mm-hmm.
So breathe in 4, hold for 4. Breathe out for 4, hold for 4. All of a sudden, you have now changed your body's physiology. Now, there's a great documentary on right now with Chris Hemsworth, Thor from the Marvel movies. And he's doing this series that's called Limitless, which is about finding each of the different areas of your body, how to improve your mind, how to improve your body, how to improve your breathing, how to improve your health, how to live longer. So all of those things.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So in one of those things where he was, I just watched the episode where he was training to do cold weather swimming. And he was supposed to swim like half a mile in like ice cold water. And that's not something you can do right away. You have to train.
Yeah.
You have to shock your body into it. And so he would find the world's foremost expert on cold water swims. And he talked to the world's foremost expert on like a deep pearl diving. Like, she can hold her breath for 6 minutes. And some can actually hold even longer than that. I think the pearl divers can hold for almost 8 minutes. So that's something that you get used to, that buildup of lactic acid in your body and your muscles. But through training, you overcome it. That's how, when I first started to run, I hated it. My legs were so sore. They hurt next day. As I got used to it, hey, 3 miles is like, 3 miles is normal run now, you know? And my legs only hurt after 10 miles. So now, each time you're pushing, because your body's threshold for lactic acid breakdown increases and it improves. So
makes sense.
Yeah. And that is just one breathing method. So that's the box method of breathing. That second one is we talked about the diaphragmatic breathing mm-hmm. from your belly button.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want you to do, and I'm not going to do it now, but you can try this on your own, and do this while you're seated, because people do get dizzy from this and faint. I want you to do three sets of this. You're going to inhale and exhale fast. Inhale through your stomach, right? Through your belly button, and then exhale, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, but using your Buddha belly, through your Buddha belly, okay?
Okay. Right?
So breathing through your Buddha belly, you're going to go inhale. You can do that 10 times. Then you take a deep, long one. Then you do a long breath. Hold that for 30 seconds. And then slowly exhale. And now what you're doing is you're hyperoxygenating your blood.
Okay.
Right? So that's a scientifically proven way to increase your oxygenation, right? Because you do that three times. All right.
Okay. I definitely have to make sure I'm sitting.
How would you like to lose weight and also save more money? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Okay. So here's a simple thing. I'm going to save you money, and I'm going to make you look better too. But you're going to lose weight from this too. So here's what you're going to do. That breathing method I just gave you, mm-hmm. if you do that every morning, it takes literally 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. So for 3 to 5 minutes every morning, mm-hmm. you know, before you take a shower, before you brush your teeth, before you do everything else, do that breathing method. And guess what? That hyperoxygenation means you don't need caffeine anymore. So those of you that are drinking your 100 calorie cup of coffee every day and spending $5 on it from Starbucks or anywhere else, 5 days a week, that's $25. That's $100 a month on coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and that 100 calories a month or a day, that's 500. That's 500 in 5 days. That's, you know, 700 in a week. In 5 weeks, that's 1 pound. Every 5 weeks, you're gaining a pound. Right? So now
that's interesting.
I want to tell you why I tell you about this, because in the past 9 months, I have released 38 pounds. In the past 9 months.
Wow, congratulations.
I have released 38 pounds. Thank you. And everybody out there that wants to know how to do that, I will tell you at the end of the show. But right now, you know, I want you to know that it's possible, because I changed the way I think. I reprogrammed my mind to start to think about the process rather than the achievement. Let's go back to that idea about the push-ups. People think that, I hate push-ups. That's fine. Okay, make a goal of doing 50 push-ups. Okay, great. Let's make a goal of 50 push-ups.
Yeah.
Instead, how about this? Let's make something easier and we can stack the wins. What if this week you do one push-up a day? Or how about this? You do 30 push-ups in one day. You do 10 push-ups in the morning, 10 in the afternoon, 10 at night. That's doable. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you have an injury or if you're, you know, severely overweight or obese, that's okay. Start with one.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, the whole point is you're not comparing yourself to anybody else. You are comparing yourself to you yesterday.
Yeah.
That's your only competition. It's your yesterday self. So what you're doing is, so for example, 3 weeks ago, in the past 4 years, I couldn't swim because I couldn't turn my neck. 3 weeks ago, I went to the pool, finally, after 4 years, and I swam 6 laps. Oh my God, it felt so good. 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then the week after, I went on Saturday again. Next week, I did 8 laps. And this Saturday, I just did 10 laps.
That's
so my goal
awesome.
Is to get back to 22 laps, which is half mile, or 44 laps, which is 1 mile in the pool.
Okay.
That's no joke. It's a lot of work. It's about 40 minutes of swimming. It's a hard workout. So if I can do that, you know, right now I'm down 38 pounds. I had gained 70 pounds after my accident. So think about this. Think about wherever you are. It's like me having two babies. You know, you're getting pregnant twice. I know some women gain 30, 40 pounds. Well, I gained two of them. Right. So, and I say that to joke and to make you laugh, but also to make you realize the gravity of gravity was freaking pulling me down.
Yeah. You know?
Like, not to be gross, but yeah, when I'm trying to run, I'm bouncing around, parts of my body are flapping that didn't flap before. And I'm like, what the hell? I said, I got to fix this thing, you know? And so this is why I tell people that, look, I'm no better than you. I am a coach. I am like an internationally certified coach, and I am a master black belt, but I don't ask anybody, like a lot of my black belt friends who are in schools, you know, don't call me master of ADA outside the karate school, because I think the titles get in the way of us connecting. I don't need the title because the belt doesn't make me, I make the belt.
I love that.
And that's where I think you start to realize who are the true masters, because they're the one that stopped caring about the rank. And that's what happened
to me
many years ago, is I just stopped, you know, worrying about it. I said, well, the more important thing is, how many people have I helped around me?
Mm-hmm.
How many students have I uplifted with my with my coaching, with my storytelling, with my impact? And by the way, because of that, because of my speech got so bad after my accident, I joined Toastmasters to directly deal with the problem.
Yeah.
And because prior to that, I was like, man, I don't know. I guess I'll be a terrible speaker my whole life. But I joined Toastmasters and I learned there were some things I can do to reduce my dependence on the way normal people speak. So you'll hear me. Mm-hmm. I don't have a normal cadence of speaking. I stop and take breaths at really odd places. Some people say, wow, Roger, you're such a great speaker. Ha ha, tricked you. You know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to avoid getting stuck in a block.
Yeah, makes total sense. But again, it goes back to how you handle or have a hold on how your mind functions, instead of like a large population, a large portion of our population.
Yeah.
We allow the mind to control everything. And then we just have this defeated feeling of, well, but that's just the thoughts, you know, or that's what it tells me. And there's so many people that like, I want to help so bad, but at the same time, you know, it's like, like you were saying, you have to want that. You chose to take head on the things that you had been through, right? You chose to make it different. Same thing in the things that, you know, I went through. I made that decision to get out of it and to do something different. And that really is the difference between those that stay stuck and those that decide to do something different, or that we see succeeding. It's because they chose what to allow process through their brain, and they chose to believe the things that served them and get rid of the things that did not, versus just letting the brain run wild, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? This applies to so many different things. If it's at your job and you want a promotion, that's great. Did you ask for one? Did you tell your manager that you want one and that you're willing to work for it? Did you ask them? I asked, by the way, here's a little tip to anybody here that have a job. You know, you want to get a promotion? Here's what you say. Here is the golden words you say to your boss right after these messages. No, not kidding. what you do is, you know, I'm starting to... a new job. So I have a once a week or like every 2 weeks meeting, like one-on-one, like with my boss. And like, she is awesome because she is very, very understanding of my speech issues. I think part of the reason why, you know, they were so impressed with me was that they know, you know, I face the world knowing I'm going to fail every day. I'm going to fail being a fluent speaker every day. But what I learned from that failure is that I try harder. And not only that, it gives me empathy to understand with other people, because that's something that is sorely lacking in a lot of job places and a lot of workplaces. Yeah. Like that empathy of understanding what someone else is going through. Well, someone who has a speech, hearing, or like visual impairment, they understand right away. They know. And so those empathetic people, they are the most productive and the most caring, kind people, and they make your team run smooth. And why wouldn't you want to hire someone who wants to work twice as hard to prove themselves? Because that's what I do. I work twice as hard. I think I work 10 times as hard. Like I'm like 10X. I'm like Grant Cardone. Here we go. That's my 10X, you know? I'm the 10X man, you know? So I think that there's a lot of opportunities for growth that people miss out on. And really that's what it is. So anyway, I promised you to tell you something that's going to help you with your job. For your next promotion, here's what you do. Next time you get a one-on-one meeting with your boss, and you should be doing that at least every 2 weeks. And if you're not, start asking for it, because you deserve that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if your boss is not willing to meet with you at least, if not weekly, at least every 2 weeks, you got the wrong boss and you should move. Point blank. All right. If they're not willing to invest their time in you, they don't care about you. Let me just be blunt. All right. And if they're that busy that they can't care about you, it doesn't matter. They have to make the time.
Yeah.
So what you do is when you get in that meeting, here's what you do. Hey, I see that you're really busy, boss. What's the one thing that I can do to take stress off your plate? What can I do to help you get a win? What's the thing I can do to help you get a gold star on your review next time? Because bosses are not used to anybody helping them. They're used to chasing everybody down, being let down, like telling people, why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? And, you know, you need to do this at this time. I know you don't have the time, but you got to do it anyway. And you know, people getting angry at them. And when was the last time you, and if you are a manager or a team leader, when was the last time somebody on your team asked you, hey, how can I help you? Oh my God, it's like mind blown, right?
Yeah.
Mind blown. And all of a sudden people say, oh my God, I cannot let this person go. They are too important to my team. Just because for that one sentence alone that you asked to help them, and what can you really do? And actually, and mean it sincerely, this is not a BS line. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, what can you do? And then do it. Don't just talk about it, do it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do that, you'll become, I have a handout here that you guys probably can't see because you're on the podcast, but but I have a step here where I talk about black belt confidence and the five steps to black belt confidence and what it takes to go through in each step. And I go through how, as a white belt, what you do, as an orange belt, green belt, blue belt, and as a black belt, how you bring it back full circle.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So if that's something that you're interested in, I can definitely give you a link to that at the end of the show. But Kat, I mean, this has been amazing. What else you got for me?
I don't know. You kept answering all my questions. So no, I think this is fantastic. And I love, you know, mindset is one of my favorite things to talk about anyway. But I love the fact that you're saying a lot of the things that a lot of people that I interviewed that are finding themselves in successful areas of their life or in their business is they chose to take control, and they chose not to allow failures to be this negative connotation, but they actually used it as a way to learn from so that they could go forward. And that, I think that that is something that a lot of our society is lacking, that, and like you said, communication. And we as a society, I feel like, especially because of 2020 and everybody being able to host their opinion on a social media platform, we have become like the kings and queens of assuming everything. And that is something that gets so many people in so much trouble. I mean, even families, you know, I've got two teenage boys and, you know, even one's an adult, he's 18, but he'll come in and he'll be like, well, if you wouldn't have done it. And I'm like, no, no, no. I'm like, did you ask me? And he's like, really? I'm like, I'm just saying, if you assume, then that is your fault because you didn't come and ask for clarification so that we could chat about it. Like, and it really is true. There are so many people that I see on a day-to-day basis, whether it's on social media, whether it's in the grocery store, that people automatically assume something. And so that keeps them playing small, or it keeps them from having real conversations, right? Or allowing other people to help them. This is one that I had to get over for a really long time. And so I try to do it anytime that I'm anywhere I possibly can. Yeah. I had a mom that was at a grocery store, bless her heart. She had two kids that were under the age of three, and she's trying to put groceries up, and one's on her hip and one's screaming in the cart. And I just asked, can I put your groceries on the thing? Like, let me help you. Like, I know what it's like to be a single mom. But she looked at me like I was crazy, because people are not used to people wanting to genuinely help. And so they assume there's something behind it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, and like you were saying earlier, is that, you know, when you actually start to help people, you start to realize that, you know, that's when you actually get control of your life. When you start to make those small decisions, remember those small hinges, swing big doors. There's a great, great, great book I would highly recommend to your son. And that is Extreme Ownership. By the two Navy SEALs, Jocko Willink and Leif Erikson. It's called Extreme Ownership. About two Navy SEALs, they went through two tours in Afghanistan, and they were captains, and they talked about how when you finally take ownership of it, of who you are and what you are, you finally gain control of your entire life. And that's what I think was really the thing that changed me. And that's when I started thinking about writing my own book. So if there's one book that you're going to get first to start your mindset journey, pick that one. Second book, buy my book. Because that's what I learned from it. And I tell you about my journey, because it's that's, you know, it's so funny. When I come on podcasts and somebody asks me like, oh, what's your favorite book? Oh, it's my book. Like, well, yes, obviously, but what book can you recommend to help the audience? And so that's why I say that. Definitely buy that book first, Extreme Ownership. It'll change your life. It'll change your mind, because there's a story in there, and I'm going to spoiler for you for 30 seconds here. So as part of SEAL training, right? And I know a couple people that are Navy SEALs, and I know like one guy who's also an Army Ranger. And so, you know, really badass, smart, strong, physically, everything, you know, really cool guys. And so during SEAL training, they have these boat crews. There's six people to a boat. And they have to hang it over their heads, like 400 pounds, and they have to race each other down the beach. And then, you know, so there's this one boat that kept coming in last, and so the SEAL trainers asked them, why is this one team always the last one? Everybody else kind of shifts up or down one or two, something like that, you know. Yeah. And so, but this one team, they were always last. So you know what they did? They asked the captain of that boat team. It's like, so how come your team is always last? And he said, well, it's because they're terrible. They suck. They don't try hard. They're lazy. They blah 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 blah. You know. And they said, okay, fine. All right. So let's try an experiment. Let's switch the captain from the last place boat crew with the first place boat crew. So the captain from the first place team was now in charge of the last place team. And at the next race, guess what happens? The last place team wins first because of the leadership. So now what you realize is that it was not about the quality of the people on the team. It was about the quality of the leadership. Because that last place captain, his fault.
Yeah.
But that's why extreme ownership matters. If you're a captain, so in other words, if you're a manager or a team leader at a company, if you work in corporate, like I've worked in big pharma for now 26 years. And, you know, I've seen very good and very bad managers. I've seen managers call themselves leaders. I've seen a team of managers call themselves the senior leadership team, even though they're not leaders. And I've seen managers who love their titles, and they get their 360 reviews, but only amongst each other, not amongst the people that actually report to them.
Yeah.
So they're all shining their own ass. And so Unfortunately, they never grow. Mm-hmm. But as soon as these Navy SEALs, they actually do corporate training now. So when they go into a company that hires them and say, listen, we have some issues in our production and our productivity. Well, you know, this is why I also talk about black belt confidence. It's similar, is that once you get that black belt confidence and you realize it's not about me being a 6-degree master black belt, it's about me teaching others to become more.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to be called Master Vedia outside of the karate school. Just call me Roger, or if you really want to, call me Coach. But the point is that I am focusing not on my ego. I'm focusing on how I can help uplift all those around me. And if you feel that, then those are the people that I can help the most. Is that, you know, I know people are struggling. I know people are craving leadership. And in the absence of a leadership, you know, people are looking for like a leadership as if you're like looking for like water in the desert. And when they don't find real leadership, they're going to drink the sand. And that's what happens. And you get the wrong type of leadership. You get it from fake leaders who say, oh, well, I'm a leader. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Nobody calls themselves a leader. Nobody calls themselves a hero. You know, and I've been telling, you know, many of the people that keep telling me that come on my show, oh my God, Roger, you're so inspiring. You're so uplifting. You're such a hero. And I'm like, no, don't use that word. I'm glad I can help. Because I don't want my ego to ever get in the way of things in the future, because it has in the past. And I'll be honest, it has. But it took my own personal journey now to realize, that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was me.
We get in our own ways. We really do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
But no more.
but that's the difference is knowing, one, not having a scarcity mindset, but two, being able to be humble as well. Even when you see people that you are helping succeed more, like you should be happy for them because that's their journey, right? And you got to contribute to that. And I think that is something that, definitely needs to, pour out more into our society. So, oh my gosh, Raja, I've had so much fun speaking with you. I can talk to you for hours. Before we end today, please do me a favor and tell everybody, do you have a quote or piece of positivity that you would like to share with the audience?
Absolutely. I remember hearing this from the famous, Jim Rohn. He's very, very well-known, like a leadership expert. And he talks about how don't wish that your obstacles were easier. Wish that you were better. Because when you focus on that, now all of a sudden, you no longer have no longer have any obstacles.
Mm.
That's what I recommend to people. And then actually, I'm going to give you a bonus quote.
Ooh, yes.
here's another one that I love too. From Steve Martin years ago. Those of you that are too young to know Steve Martin, go look up Saturday Night Live. Steve Martin, two wild and crazy guys. he was Father of the Bride, a very, very funny guy. He has a great quote, which I heard, which I really kind of vibed with. And he's, you know, because for a long time, I was wondering, like, how come I'm not good enough? How come I'm not good enough? And, you know, I just kept pushing myself and keep learning and keep growing. And then people started to notice, because Steve Martin's quote is, be so good, they can't ignore you.
Mm.
Don't complain. Don't put anybody else down. Be so good, they can't ignore you. And that's what I've been doing the past year.
I love that.
My show exploded. We're up to episode 230 in 8 months. And, you know, I lost all this weight finally from my accident years ago. And so now I'm getting back in shape. I look good. I feel good, you know, and when you look and feel good, people notice it. You know, they can tell, you know, that confidence just exudes from you. And just everything just sort of happened all at once. All of a sudden, everything's kind of, you know, you know when people tell you, oh my God, Roger, you're an overnight success. That's great. It only took me 6 to be an overnight success.
You know, only six.
Yeah, only six. Trying to figure out and wasting money and dumping into coaches and gurus. And oh man, I don't want to tell you how much thousands of dollars I wasted on some of these gurus and programs that were nothing. And, you know, but like I said, you don't win and fail. You either win something or you learn something.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from those too. So yeah. Every experience and choice you made brought you where you are today. And that's why you're going to be a positive impact on the earth here today, is that, you know, every choice brought you here.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Oh, that's like the best thing to end on. So do us a favor then, tell us where everyone can follow you, connect with you, all the things, so they can be in front of you and enjoy your energy as much as I do.
Oh God. Sure. Let me see if I can pull up, I'll give you a link for the show notes. That is in the, I have a weekly mastermind series every Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern. It's on Zoom, and you get to meet with me live in a group setting, helping you focusing on solving your problems. And that is the Mind Shift Mastery, mastermind. It is bit.ly/VMAMindShift1. So definitely take advantage of that. That's your opportunity to join us. You get 30 days free. And after that, if you want to join the membership, definitely do so, because people that join, they learn every single week, they grow. And then on top of that, I have a Mind Shift Mastery bootcamp for 8 weeks. And that is my intensive, where you get basically me one-on-one in a very small group program. There may be like 4 to 6 people in that. And that's a more expensive program. It's not free. Of course not. Because why would I give away my valuable time for free? But it's for real people with real problems. And for some people, it's not for you. That's okay. It's okay. But if you know you want to start solving your problems quickly, then that's a program that you want to connect with me on. And you can always email me at rajavspeaker@gmail.com, rajavspeaker@gmail.com, or go to victorymindsetacademy.com, victorymindsetacademy.com, and you get your free fast action mini course. It's 15 minutes, nice. 5 modules, 3 minutes each, and just check it out. See if it vibes with you. If it does, great. Go find out like how else we can like work together. And I will always be here to uplift those that really want to change their lives.
I love that. Thank you so much. And we'll be sure to put all that information in the show notes, especially the website. I think that's fantastic. So thank you so much for offering that to the audience. And thank you so much for being here today, Raja, and sharing all of your amazing wisdom and insight. I love your energy and your personality. So I can't thank you enough. Of course. And to everybody that's out there, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways today. Please be sure to send us comments, share online, let us know what you thought about it. And don't forget, until next time, please do something positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic rest of your day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.